This whole global warming thing, I'm a geoscientist, is really a hoax. It's a hoax.
This is Alex Smith asking, why are so many in the 9/11 truth movement so hostile to the reality of climate change? On June 22, 2007, the traveling roadshow of 9/11 speakers arrived in Vancouver, Canada. As an environmentalist and a radio journalist, I went to the Sunday afternoon presentations. These promised to explain the dangers of depleted uranium and the conspiracies of war to get oil. My intention was to broadcast the speech by Loren Moret, spelled M-O-R-E-T, who has awakened so many to the dangers of depleted uranium used in American weapons in the Middle East. When Loren Moret announced that global warming was a hoax, I was stunned to hear about 25% of the crowd at the 9/11 Truth Conference applaud, like a big weight had been lifted from them. Oh yeah, all that stuff about eventually running out of oil and natural gas, that's a hoax too. Whew! We know this because ex-President Bill Clinton's half-brother is alleged to have said this. He would know. Okay, it's hard to find a speech where I agree and disagree so much at the same time. We don't have time to run the whole thing, so in fairness to Loren, I'm going to run consecutive clips of the main points separated by a little classical music so you will know where edits were made. I will withhold the rest of my comments until after the 20 minutes from her speech so you can draw your own conclusions. Here is Loren Moret from the Vancouver 9/11 Truth Conference, June 24th.
Okay, this is a fallout map of the U.S., and this is the radioactive fallout contamination in the environment measured on the ground for nuclear tests conducted between 1957 and 1963. And basically, every person living in the United States in that period was internally contaminated with radiation, and that was just admitted by the U.S. government a few years ago. I think I'm not going to do the slides. If you can just turn the lights on, please. The under the Manhattan Project in World War II, three horrific weapons technologies were proposed for development. And since World War II, or beginning with World War II, the most horrific technologies of war have been proposed and developed, and the military is completely destroying the environment. We can't be any healthier than the health of the environment because we drink the same water, we breathe the same air, and we eat food from the soils that are contaminated. So how can we be healthy if the environment isn't healthy? It's impossible. Under the Manhattan Project, the atomic bombs, depleted uranium, radioactive poison gas weapons, and an Agent Orange prototype were proposed for development. All of them were proposed for the purpose of carrying out depopulation. I want to repeat that. Atomic bombs, Agent Orange, and depleted uranium, radioactive poison gas weapons were all developed for the purpose of depopulation. What many people don't know is that depleted uranium is in every atomic and hydrogen bomb. There's a plutonium core that weighs about 20 pounds, and thousands of pounds of depleted uranium tamping around that plutonium core, which reflects the fast neutrons back into the core of plutonium to make a bigger bang for the buck. And this depleted uranium is vaporized in the thermonuclear explosion. And in the bomb tests, it was injected high into the stratosphere and distributed by the jet stream around the world at basically the same latitude. If you look at a global diabetes map, it's very obvious that the highest rates of diabetes are related to the fallout patterns in the jet stream. And this has been very, very hidden from the public and even from other scientists. I discovered in a U.S. Army pamphlet on nuclear weapons by Glassstone that the tamping in nuclear bombs was actually depleted uranium. And I was very interested because I had heard from Americans who went to Baghdad after the 2003 Iraq War. They found their Iraqi relatives in an epidemic of diabetes. And they came back after only 3 weeks in Baghdad. A 35-year-old healthy man suddenly had diabetes 2 months after he came back from Baghdad. So I began investigating this link between diabetes and radiation because I'd never heard of it. And I discovered that many scientists around the world have known from the atomic and hydrogen bomb studies on the Japanese, from studies on the Chernobyl victims, from studies on epidemiology around nuclear power plants, and certainly the epidemic of diabetes in the Middle East and Central Asia now, and in our returning veterans. How many people in this room have diabetes or know someone who has had diabetes? Please raise your hands.
Are you talking about adult onset? Or
all diabetes.
All of it.
Because before 1945, it was very, very rare, and usually people died because there was no insulin. So basically, atmospheric testing released the equivalent of 40,000 Hiroshima bombs into the global atmosphere, and that was the onset of nuclear pollution in the United States and around the world. The governments around the world were in collusion to hide this from the public. Yeah, the pharmaceutical companies are happy. The same people who make the decision to send us to war sell the weapons and make huge profits that are used in those wars, those horrific technologies that are making everybody ill globally. And they're the same people who are the CEOs and the owners of the pharmaceutical companies. And so more and more over time, we're going to be forced to spend more and more money on pharmaceuticals just to stay alive. And in third world countries where people don't have that money, they'll just die in silent ways. The entire nuclear weapons program cost through 1995 was $300 billion. So we spent almost half of that on diabetes health care last year. I mean, the U.S. government did. And I'm sure it's very high in Canada because you got a lot of fallout from us. It went around the world and contaminated Canada. And then the Russians did huge hydrogen bomb tests in the Arctic near Finland, and that radiation went over the Arctic and came down into Canada. And there are studies on infant mortality during that bomb testing period that prove many babies in Canada died from that radiation. We're sacrificing generation after generation of our children for security, for energy, for what? This is insane. And who is benefiting? Well, I'll tell you. I'll tell you who's benefiting, because you have to go to the head of the snake to understand that before you understand a strategy to fight it and to win, and we can. Who owns the uranium in the world? It's the Queen of England, who personally and privately owns billions of dollars in uranium mines in Australia, in Africa, and in Canada. Did you know Queenie was one of the biggest uranium miners in the world? Are you shocked? And the Rockefellers are the other biggest donors of the uranium mines in the world. And who controls uranium prices and supplies? The Rothschilds. And who is the Queen's business manager? The Rothschilds. And did you know Princess Diana's mother was a Rothschild? Because the bankers and the royalty and the big industrialists, they all intermarry because they share common interests. They're all intermarried. It's a global, integrated war crimes racketeering syndicate. They're all major war criminals. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The nuclear weapons labs are worse than the mafia. You may think you're letting go of them, but they never let go of you. They kidnapped my daughter when she was 13. I didn't see her until she was 18. They bankrupted me. They tried to make me look crazy. They tried to run me off the road like Karen Silkwood and have a fatal accident. They've killed scientists at Livermore and Los Alamos while I was there, who blew the whistle on different aspects of the nuclear weapons program. It's a cult of insanity. These people are absolutely cuckoo. What is happening is nuclear power plants are being used as low-level nuclear war against ordinary citizens. And they have been established since the 70s, the 60s, in the strong Western economies that are more democratic. It's actually part of the New World Order plan to establish one-level society. So they're bringing first world countries down to second world level and third world countries up to second world level so that they can have one world government and it's easier to manage a one-class system. So what happened is the emissions from nuclear power plants replaced atmospheric testing fallout. And this whole global warming thing, I'm a geoscientist, is really a hoax. It's a hoax. And I just saw a fantastic videotaped interview by Anthony Hilder of Clinton's half-brother who lives in Malibu. He said, global warming is a hoax. Peak oil is a hoax. The New World Order is a hoax. He said it's all a hoax. And what they're doing is using the threat of global warming to justify or to promote nuclear power. Now, the Queen and the Rockefellers have a new huge uranium mining initiative in Australia underway. They want to mine $35 billion in uranium in the next 5 years. And who built the 1,000-mile railway from the uranium mines to a port on the north coast of Australia? Halliburton, that's right. So you can see that these are all interlocking, interdependent vested interests. It's the same people since the 1800s, World War I, World War II, this is World War III now, really. It's the same people. And this is really funny. Al Gore, his daughter is married to the grandson of Jacob Schiff. Jacob Schiff funded the Bolsheviks. He was a very wealthy Wall Street businessman in New York City. And who is promoting the global warming hoax and the nuclear power hoax? It's Al Gore. He's their PR man. And there is a secret meeting every year under the Arctic ice cap where a Russian submarine and a U.S. submarine meet, and officials secretly meet there and decide what they're going to do over the next year. Now, in that movie that Al Gore is in, he stated, "Oh, and I am the only vice president who's ever been under the Arctic ice cap in a submarine." That's right. A really good book about depopulation is it's called Behold a Pale Horse by William Cooper. And that woman back there on the table, she has a red jacket on. You can order it from her. She has a DVD of a four-hour presentation by him and another DVD with his entire book on it. It's $10, and it is fantastic. He was U.S. Naval Intelligence. He gave the number of the bill in Congress that funded AIDS for the military to develop at Fort Detrick. I interviewed a soldier, special ops, who flew World Health Organization and UN doctors to South Africa at the height of apartheid. And he was told that they were going down to inoculate these blacks who were exposed to anthrax or something like that. When he got down there, there was no outbreak at all, but it was quarantined off, and it was the center of apartheid resistance in the blacks. And he said to the doctors, "Why are we down here? There's no disease outbreak here." And one of the doctors from Finland finally said, "No, there's no outbreak down here, but we're going to vaccinate these people, and in 12 years, they will all be dead." That was the beginning of AIDS in South Africa. So that's depopulation. They're depopulating Africa with AIDS, and it's to be able to have access to the tremendous treasure box that Africa is of diamonds, gold, oil, and natural gas, and especially very rare metals. NASA and the United States is especially interested in Africa for that reason. So in 1991, depleted uranium, which had been developed since about 1968, it was developed for the Navy, DU was introduced to the battlefield in Iraq, and it was called, the military had to have it because it was a kinetic energy penetrator. It could cut through tanks like hot butter and blah, blah, blah. Well, they're really using it for depopulation. Dirty bombs, dirty missiles, and dirty bullets. And it's affecting you too. Everyone in this room is a Gulf War soldier because they have released the equivalent of more than 400,000 Nagasaki bombs since 1991. In 7 to 9 days, it was measured in the atmosphere in England after it was used in Afghanistan and Iraq, and in 2 weeks it's over here. Where there's heavy rain and high snowfall, it is particularly rained and snowed out into the environment in very high levels. Diabetes has increased since 1980 to 2002, 136% in the U.S. It only increased 16% between 1980 and 1990. And if you look at diabetes data from Japan, from India, from the U.S., from any country, There's a huge spike between 1991 and 2000. So you see, there are a lot of ways to attack. We've got a lot of ammunition if we just use it. And there are a lot more of us, and there are a lot of reasons for people to be concerned about the uranium, the DU. And I'm coming to Canada in August, July or August, and I'm going to begin a Geiger counter citizen movement here. So, will you help me? Thank you.
Why are so many of the 9/11 truth people so hostile to the climate change idea? Is it issue envy, seeing their passion shunted aside for a greater need? The audience was generally older men with a serving of middle-aged women. Some go from conference to conference, following the speakers, selling books, making a film, hoping to become minor celebrities within a small crowd. They know, without a doubt, that nothing will be solved in this world until the truth about the attacks of 9/11 come out and America is set right. The new coal plants opening every 10 days in China do not matter. The dying pine trees, forests, are irrelevant. If ocean life is being scraped bare, that is all part of the plan to depopulate the world, as laid out by the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, and the Queen long ago. Of course, this collection of villains, the alleged head of the snake, is exactly the theory and teaching of one Lyndon LaRouche, the one-time presidential candidate and cult leader. LaRouche was jailed under George Bush Sr. for defrauding old ladies to the tune of hundreds of thousands of dollars. His followers, those who were not jailed with him, began a vendetta against the Bush government ever since, and so they fit nicely into the 9/11 truth movement. The keynote speaker for this 9/11 conference, Webster Griffin Tarpley, was the press officer and close confidant of Lyndon LaRouche, his mouthpiece, even into the mid-1990s. Tarpley, who wrote a scandal-laden biography of Bush Jr., available on the net, has helped lead a whole crowd of 9/11 truthers into the LaRouche explanation, an evil conspiracy for world domination, led by the Queen of England and organized by the Rothschilds. It was once true, 150 years ago, that the Rothschild family bankrolled wealthy kings and queens. But capitalism has morphed many times since then, becoming immensely more complicated than this child's tale of the bad mother and her evil stepsons. Where is the gigantic wealth of the Walmart Waltons and Microsoft's Bill Gates in this story? What about the immensely powerful Japanese banks, the newly emerging wealth of China, the accumulated hoards of Saudi Arabia? Are these all palace Jews, too? The beauty of the LaRouche worldview. It puts the evil somewhere else, at the top. If the world is being consumed, rapidly approaching extinction levels, they are doing it. Not you and I, as we drive our SUV to the mall for more useless shopping. When our garbage cans overflow, we can hate the Rothschilds. And the Queen? Incidentally, there is a possibility the Queen has invested heavily in uranium, although likely through no direct decision of her own. The royal family has hundreds of years of history of investing in the big British companies that set out to plunder the resources of the world. We know that in the 1970s the Crown was a major player in the RTZ mining company, which has interests in uranium mines in Australia and Canada. They mine a lot of other minerals as well, so it is disingenuous to place all their billions in just uranium. The Queen may even be invested in BHP Billiton, another big uranium miner in Australia. That hardly leads to a charge of derailing the climate change movement towards nuclear power. And Al Gore marrying a banker's granddaughter is a pretty weak link to the conspiracy. Looking further into this 9/11 conference, who does Lauren Moray recommend as a key author? William Cooper, author of Behold a Pale Horse. One website says simply William Cooper was killed by authorities on November 5th, 2001. Cooper also wrote Operation Majority, which, quote, contains the absolute true information regarding the alien presence on Earth and the U.S. government's involvement with the aliens. Need I say more? Also at the conference, another staunch global warming denier, radio host, and herbal salesman, right on the right-wing dial, Dr. William Deagle. He snapped rapid-fire through his slides that prove that the World Trade Center was demolished by a mini-nuclear weapon. Anything is possible, but I smelt the snake oil pouring from the stage. None of this denies that the Bush administration didn't have dirty hands in the 9/11 attacks. They were utterly incompetent, at the very least. They may have had a secret role in it. Real conspiracies do happen. But why bother dedicating your life to this one event? We know for sure, with no further investigation, that Bush, Cheney, and the neocons immediately used 9/11 as an excuse to strip Americans and world citizens of all rights. They brought back torture and fed obscene amounts of money into the vice president's old company, Halliburton, not to mention America's largest defense contractor, Lockheed Martin. Mrs. Cheney sits on the board of Lockheed Martin, the biggest case of graft ever. Then they started an immoral, criminal war that killed hundreds of thousands of innocent people, far more than 9/11. The world turned toward fear and violence. Keep in mind, though, while these human dramas play out on the stage that politics has become, outside, in nature, things are dying at ever faster rates. While the news plays with Paris Hilton, and devotees buy the 9/11 t-shirts. A major drought has hit America harder than any terrorist can. Whole forests are dying in the West due to climate change. Tropical forests are being cut down at record rates. Fires are becoming the order of the day. If we continue as we are, this civilization is doomed, and many other living things too. Deny that, and you lose everything. I hope to play the Lauren Moray speech for you as a truth-teller. Now she suddenly re-explains the diabetes surge as coming from her own field, not diet. She knows the secret truth the experts have missed. She knows how AIDS was spread to Africa, another conspiracy of evil men. She knows that depleted uranium explains the whole human malaise. It is simple. Too simple. Lauren Moray is not a nuclear physicist, nor a climate scientist. I am saddened to say, following the wild statements in this grandiose speech, those of us who care about the environment will have to see her as part of a conspiracy herself, fallen into a fringe that denies reality and our own role in it. Depleted uranium is a dangerous product that should never have been made. It is criminal to drop nuclear waste on other countries. We owe a debt to Lauren Moray for waking us up on this issue. But when she wanders into world politics, the causes of widespread diseases, and hidden nuclear weapons used on the World Trade Center or Lebanon, Moray loses her way and her credibility. I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. Catch our weekly program on CFRO Vancouver and other college and community radio stations, or on the web from www.ecoshock.org.